Money, 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 money. Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Dobiak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Dobiak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money, and I've got some great topics today. We're going to look at Apple shifting where it's getting its imports from. We're going to talk about Doge and the SEC. For a little bit of relief, we're going to talk about life after college and some financial tips that recent graduates need to know. And then finally, as I've been doing recently, I'm going to talk about next steps in the Ask Peggy segment. So let's get started with the bulls and bears market and economic update. And I want to talk about the data today two different ways. I want to talk about it for the month of April. Now, this data is of the close of the market, April 25th, 2025. I am taping on the 28th, and the market is doing well again today. I also want to look at three-month data, because it's really easy to think that the market is terrible or the market is fabulous because you get really caught up on the daily movements. Even I can do that, and I follow the market really closely, so I can imagine for people who are really only tuning in once in a while, these times just have to be incredibly stressful. So for the week ending April 25th, the Dow was actually up about 2.5%. For the previous 3 months, so that would be February, March, April, it's down right about 9.7%. Again, that was as of Friday. In the S&P 500, it went up a little over 4.5% last week, and for the last 3 months, it is down 9.44%. The NASDAQ was up 6.73% last week, and over the last 3 months, it's down about 12.9%. Gold was down about 0.33% last week, which makes sense, right? Because when the markets are up, you don't really need a hedge as much. So gold, acting as the best hedge against the markets right now, was down 0.33%. But over the last 3 months, it's up almost 20%. West Texas Intermediate crude front month price was down 1.9% last week. Its current price as of Friday was $63.18 a barrel. And over 3 months, it's down about 15.33%. The dollar was up about 0.2% last week. Over the last 3 months, however, the dollar is down 7.3%. That is a huge move in the dollar. And it shows some of the concern that overseas countries are having dealing with whether or not they want to be in dollar-denominated investments. However, the 10-year Treasury, which I've always said is a good indicator as to how are things going, it was down 9% last week. Over the last 3 months, it's down 39.4%. So it's only off of a current yield of 4.24%. So these aren't huge moves as dollar amounts, but they are huge moves as a percentage. And if anything gave me the most hope when I was looking at the data, it's the fact that the 10-year Treasury was down 39.4% over 3 months. In fact, I checked it twice because that wasn't what I was expecting to see, which is why longer time horizons make you a lot less jumpy. The aggregate bond is up 0.76% for the week, and it looks like I forgot to get the three-month data. But remember, as yields go down, bond funds go up. Bitcoin was up 11% for the week, but for the 3 months, it's down 10.67%. Now, I don't mean to continue to rag on cryptocurrency. I really don't. You know, I'm not crazy about it. you know that I'm not completely sure what it is, and I get different answers from different people. It will not be the replacement currency in the United States. Even if something were to happen, and I don't think this is happening, and the smartest people that I can follow who are the most worried about the economy also do not believe that the dollar will cease being the world's reserve currency. So that gives me a lot of hope as well, because that would be absolutely catastrophic to what's going on in our U.S. economy, right? So the fact that no one thinks the dollar is going to quit being the reserve currency really gives me a lot of hope. It's also important to see, though, that when you look at the three-month period, a longer time horizon, the Dow's down almost 10, the S&P's down about 9.5, the NASDAQ's down almost 13, and Bitcoin is down 10. If you are buying Bitcoin as a hedge against the stock market, then you just need to know that data. I am not going to tell you what to do. I've always said I'm not going to tell you specifically what to do with any investment on this show. That's not my job. That's not what I need to do, because I cannot give you investment advice. This is educational. But I do think it's important to know. Now, the VIX, the volatility index, was down about 16% last week, but over the last 3 months, it is up 67.27%. That is the measure of how worried people are, and that doesn't seem to be doing really fabulously at this point. And quite frankly, I was listening to the news all over the weekend. I was listening to business news, normal news, any news. There don't appear to be any tariff deals. Now, maybe there's something out there and you will hear from the administration some vague comments of, oh yeah, we have lots of things in place, and yet there do not seem to be any tariff deals. So what I will say is anything that you are concerned about by way of your risk tolerance, we are certainly off of our lows. 10% in 3 months is not nearly as flippy as 10% in a day, okay, or 10% in 3 days. At one point, when these tariffs were first announced, you know, the market completely lost its mind. So if you have been thinking about your risk tolerance and wanting to make a long-term adjustment to it, we have had quite a bit of market rally coming back from this. And so if you wanted to make a change, this wouldn't be the worst time to do it. Additionally, and I think this news story has gotten really buried in the blizzard of news that I feel like we're getting right now. Apple made an announcement that it is not going to be importing its iPhones from China anymore. And that sounds, on the surface, like, oh, wow, look, the tariffs worked. We're not importing from China. No, now we're going to import from India. And something that I think is very important for people to understand is major manufacturing is unlikely to come back to the United States. The salaries here are too high, and it takes years to build plants. We cannot just wholesale pick up and start making everything here. We don't have the infrastructure for it. And so when countries are getting slapped with huge tariffs, you know, assumedly to bring the jobs back to the United States, they aren't. The companies involved are simply going to another country that doesn't have a ginormous tariff on it, and they're getting the goods more from there. I'm going to guess that India might have been supplying iPhones to foreign countries that weren't us, right? So the plants are already in place, the products are already in place. And so at this point, they're going to just simply shift where they're getting most of their iPhones to another foreign country. And that is how this is going to go. It's been really covered up in the news, especially some of the more conservative business channels, because it suggests a narrative that even with tariffs, manufacturing isn't coming back. So we need to just think about that and look at the implications of that. And certainly I will continue to sort through this. Remember that the bond yields are down. That's a great sign. The market is on a comeback. That is a good sign. But the real critical thing is what happens next.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I don't normally talk about the Department of Government Efficiency or DOGE, but they are now looking at the Securities and Exchange Commission. Now, there's a new chair of the SEC, Paul Atkins, who is an appointee of this administration. And that happens all the time, right? Administrations change and department heads get replaced by someone who is more friendly to the new administration, or just simply the new president wants his or her people in charge. Nothing wrong with that. The problem is this chair, again, Paul Atkins, is much more pro-crypto, is much more regulatory than the previous SEC chair. Remember, the SEC is the Securities and Exchange Commission, and it is the governing body both for where companies have to file information, you know, publicly traded companies. It's also the regulatory body for any financial advisor who is managing over $100 million. So they are the regulators of the big firms, the big companies, and it's concerning that DOGE is coming in, only because I'm looking at their past history. I also think it's interesting that it's not really making top of the line news. I think it's not making top of the line news because there won't be a direct impact to the country. So unlike closing a Social Security office or doing something with Medicare or Medicaid, those are, here is the agency, the public is directly outside the door. So anything that happens in the agency immediately and directly impacts the public. With the SEC, there is a step removed. So they are the regulatory body for companies, which means that you don't notice there's an issue until there's an issue with a company. Or you don't know that there's an issue until there's an issue with the company governance. Or with a financial advisor regulator, the public doesn't notice it until there's an issue with the advisor. Now, if you're a longtime listener of the show, and I really hope you are, you know how much in favor of financial regulation I am. You know that what brought me to this job was the fact that my mom got taken advantage of by a stockbroker in the dot-com crash of 2000, and she was placed in high-tech single stocks, and as a result lost, half, give or take, of her newly acquired retirement money just as she had quit her job. And I got so angry that I changed careers. That's the very short version of that story. And I have sort of been a crusader for financial fairness ever since. So I promote financial literacy stuff. I promote regulation. I promote the fiduciary standard. And yes, it makes my job a little more complicated. It does. However, it also takes care of people. And taking care of the consumer is really critical. And I'm worried that if there is a lot of gutting of the regulatory staff, those people who oversee the financial world, that there will be, if not sooner, certainly later, more bad actors, more issues, because I know that in some circles, lack of regulation is seen as a good thing. However, when you actually let that go for a while, it doesn't usually end well. It is good for those people who own the businesses because they don't have to do as much. But typically, this is my opinion, not the opinion of the radio station you are listening to. Typically, it is ultimately bad for the consumer. So I'm going to follow this as much as I can. It's not a very popular story because of all the other cuts that are going on in other places, and the government have a tendency to override this. But this is my lane. And so I'm going to stay in this lane for the radio show, and I will try to help you keep up with what's going on because it's actually really important.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And today I want to talk about next steps for college graduates. And I also want to talk a little bit about the new rules involving student loans that have gone into default, because the two things are actually related. But I want to start out, first of all, being enthusiastic and saying congratulations on graduating, whether it's high school or your bachelor's or your master's or your doctorate, or maybe you're a doctor or a dentist, whatever it is you have done, I am so incredibly excited for you. And the world needs you, and you've got lots to offer, and it's going to be tons of fun, I promise. You know, anything that's really hard right now, things get better. They do. It's my job to kind of help people negotiate what's going on right now. But if you're just graduating, I want you to be optimistic because the future will be bright and things are going to get better. So let's start with that. So I know you're excited. You've worked hard. You should be proud of yourself and take some time to celebrate. However, there's some things you can do once that's over with to set yourself up on a good path. Many of you have student loan debt, and I am not going to be judgmental about that at all. College is expensive, good for you for graduating, but unless you're going to graduate school, you are probably going to need to start paying that debt off. And so what you want to do is find out what your repayment schedule is, and that money is a bill, just like any other bill. And before you give yourself some kind of a raise from the way you're currently living, you need to add that bill into your list of bills, because they're going to begin to resume collection on defaulted student loans for the first time in 5 years. Now, we used to collect money off of defaulted student loans. It ended, like they said, 5 years ago. It was related to COVID. And the problem is, if they start collecting on your defaulted student loan debt, they can take it from your tax refund. They could even take it from Social Security benefits if you're older and have let this go for a long time, and they can take it from your wages. They can go into your employer and garnish the payment. So they're not going to take it all. They're not going to leave you destitute, but they are going to take the amount that you owe as a percentage of what you earn. And so that could be really awkward if you've created a budget that doesn't do this. So a loan is in default if you haven't made a payment in 270 days. So basically, you know, if a year is 365 days, let's just call it two-thirds of a year to make math that I can do in my head and that you can understand. There were 8 million student loan borrowers in default when the pandemic and then the economic downturn started. So they've announced that there's going to be a re-beginning of taking those payments in May. During the period between 2020 and today, there have been all kinds of things where it gets extended, it gets extended, it gets extended. This is actually not a new policy. In fact, when I read about the policy, I thought, this isn't a new policy. This is something that we've done for a long time. It was just paused during COVID. So they are beginning an old policy, but the problem is it's a five-year-old policy at this point, and people's financial lives have moved on. So if you're a new graduate, you need to go ahead and start paying your loans because it's a thing again. And if you are in default on your student loans, you need to get in contact with your lender. You need to talk to your own personal financial planner who can help you look at the specifics of what you need to do. Because I'm kind of talking like that textbook that sounded really detailed until you tried to implement it, and then you realized the textbook just kind of pointed you in a direction and wished you good luck. That's kind of what I'm doing here. I am pointing you in a direction, and I'm wishing you good luck, but I'm also wanting you to know what's going on. So, if you've just graduated, start paying your loans. The next thing that I want you to do is to start saving an emergency fund. Now, I read things, I read financial information, it kind of acts like somehow in college, you're supposed to be doing these things. There is no judgment from me if you're not saving for your retirement or saving an emergency fund. I mean, the emergency fund sometimes when I was in graduate school is, what's going to be for dinner next month? So let's go ahead and start now, if you weren't doing it before. And remember, I want you to just start setting back a portion of the money you're making. Your goal is to save 2 months of your bills first, and then you'll move on from there. But I want you to start thinking about saving money, not doing what I think you're doing right now and thinking about spending money because you're excited because you're going to have more money. That takes me directly into the next point. It's expensive to get out on your own. There are all kinds of things you weren't expecting. So what I would recommend that you do is try very much to live on the budget that you had to live on while you were in college. If you're just getting out of high school, I want you to think about being thrifty, not being extravagant. If you have a job and the job pays you a nice salary, really just for fun, I want you to take a few months, at least maybe a couple of years, and live like you have much less money than you actually do. If you do that, you can set up your budget the right way. You can set up an emergency fund. You can start paying back your student loans. You can start saving for a house, saving for a car, maybe. So the whole idea here is to live under your means by a lot until you get things figured out. And then you can make other adjustments to your budget as it makes sense.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I want to, again, deal with the question that I'm being asked the most, which is, Peggy, what am I supposed to do now? And what I'm going to tell you is this week, or if you listen to the show after the 1st of May, I want you to go ahead and open that statement that's going to come from your investment company. If for some reason you only get statements on the quarter, I want you to go online and I want you to look at your investment balance. Because here's what I think is going to happen. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised. We really have had a tremendous rally the last, couple of weeks in the market, based off of what had happened at the beginning of the month, based off of the belief that there will be tariff deals, based off of the belief that the amount of the tariffs is going to drop. So whether that in fact all comes to pass or not, right now the market believes it's going to. So I think you're going to have a lot less stress in your life if you go ahead and look at your statement from April. And you'll see that it goes down a lot at the beginning of the month, but then it comes back. And the other thing that saves the April performance is the fact that with bond interest rates dropping, that means the value of your bond funds, the actual principal price, has likely gone up. So that unless you're in an all-stock portfolio, you're going to have better results than what the stock market is performing. That's something that's important for you to remember, that when you're looking at the news, right, and heaven knows we have news 24 hours a day of any flavor that you like to listen to, nearly always they're talking about the stock market. Now, if you should listen and they're talking about the bond market and they're worried, you might want to be worried too, because the bond market is the indicator of how stressed the market actually is. So the stock market can be somewhat like a really barky dog, while the bond market is a very quiet dog, but when it barks, it gets your attention. So go ahead and look. I think you're going to feel better. If for any reason you're not in good shape, maybe it's all single stocks, maybe it's very tech-centric and you're like, wow, this is bad, really seriously don't overreact. I cannot in good conscience tell you, oh, just blow it off, it'll all be fine. You know, it probably will be. But if it's single stocks and it's high tech and you want to talk to your financial professional, by all means, do so. Just remember that anything, when you go out of the market, you have to figure out when you're going to go back in, and you have to decide whether or not getting out is going to put you in a worse financial position than staying in. I see people and they're a little bit worried and they're like, I want to sell it all today. And, you know, again, this is a decision for your financial team, but you probably want to think very, very carefully before you do something about it. If you're going to make a big purchase this year, I've been seeing lots of headlines that they're screaming almost, which makes me a little nervous, but it's like, buy now. But I will say there isn't a reason not to if you're going to make the purchase anyway. And I talked about this on last week's show as well. Do not take this as an excuse just to go shopping and buy every piece of technology or everything that's made overseas because you want it and, ooh, I need to do it because of the tariffs. No, this is for purchases that you are going to be making anyhow. And so it's really important to be strategic in how you handle this. If you are going to buy it, you might want to go ahead and buy it now while everything is available, while maybe the prices are a little bit lower because the stock that is already on the shelves already has a price and it doesn't have a tariff. You do want to be careful because merchants may use this as an opportunity to raise prices because they can. So just because there is a tariff on something made overseas and there's a domestic product, you want to be careful because that domestic product may also cost more today, and you just don't want to get suckered into making a purchase that if you don't need it, you might be better off and just let all this dust settle, because I do believe it will at some point. And then finally, continue to save your emergency fund. Those emergency funds are really critical if anything goes wrong, and it can help keep you from the brink of financial disaster.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.